Welcome to Brother Sister Lister. I'm Brother.
And I'm Sister.
And this week we are talking about
our top five Billboard number one hits from the 1960s.
So this is the beginning of a series that we're going to do on Billboard number one songs. And initially we had this idea and thought we could do number one songs of all time. Then we realized that is way too broad of a topic.
Easier said than done.
So when we were trying to narrow it down from 40 songs to our top five, we thought that might be a little challenging.
Yeah.
So we decided a good way to break it up might be by decade. So this episode will focus on songs from the 60s, and then we will move on each week from there.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
I can start. My number five is Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter by Herman's Hermits.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
Oh, that's a good one.
I really like this song. Herman's Hermits, I think, is just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Noon is the lead singer, and he has a very specific voice. And this song, there's a very specific kind of muted guitar style to it. And so it has a unique sound, just very different than anything, I think. The song was actually written by a guy named Trevor Peacock, who is an actor and a screenwriter, but most famously done by Herman's Hermits. And that's the song that made it to number one. So that was 1965. And it was number one for 3 weeks, from the week of May 1st to the week of May 15th.
Nice.
And yeah, I just really like this one. Any Herman's Hermits songs I think are great. I have the Herman's Hermits greatest hits on vinyl, which
nice.
Is always fun to pop in every once in a while and just listen to.
That's cool. I like that one.
So that's my number five.
My number five is Leaving on a Jet Plane.
I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Oh, this is a good one.
Yeah, this one was by Peter, Paul, and Mary. The song was originally written by John Denver in 1966, but it hit number one on the charts in 1969, December 20th. It only lasted 1 week, but well-deserved spot.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of those songs that you could hear on the radio or play, and everybody around you will be able to sing along.
Yeah, for sure.
And thoroughly enjoy.
Or at least the chorus.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I love this song. I personally, I don't know if this takes away from it being on my list, I personally like John Denver's version a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I'm glad this song ended up with a number one spot, no matter who was performing it. So, but that's my number five.
That's a good one. I like that. Can we just say briefly, the 1960s were just filled with some of the greatest songs ever written.
Yes.
And so this list in particular for number one songs from the 1960s was extremely challenging.
It was really tough. We already had split up this list idea, into decades. And then I almost wanted to do top 10 for the 1960s because it was so hard to narrow down to five.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yes.
So my number four?
Yep.
My number four is Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
This is on my list.
Okay. Well, I'll come back to it then when we talk about it on your list.
Okay. So my number four is Save the Last Dance for Me.
But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
I like this one.
Me too. It's great. So this is by the Drifters. It was on the charts in 1960, October 17th, and it lasted there for 3 weeks. I love this song, and I am a huge fan of the Drifters in general.
Did you say it was 1960?
Yeah.
And don't you feel like there is sort of a shift in the 60s happening
Very
that becomes
much.
Evident when you look at the Billboard charts even?
Yeah.
The early 60s has such a different feel, and then later on in the 60s you get into a lot more experimental sounds, and
yes, for
things
sure.
change a lot
that
decade.
I feel like the Beatles have a lot to do with that, that shift.
Yeah, certainly we'll talk more about that.
Yeah. But yeah, they just have a very classic 60s sound to me.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton did a cover of this song in 1983.
Oh, really?
I also enjoy it a lot.
Dolly Parton is amazing.
She really is. But just a really sweet, happy song, and I love it. So,
cool. I like
that one.
My
number four.
My number three is Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know. Mrs. Robinson, heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey,
love this song.
Such a great song. Yeah. Paul Simon is, I believe, to be one of the greatest songwriters of all time.
Yeah.
And definitely one of my favorites. This song is 1968. It was number one for 3 weeks, from the week of June 1st to the week of June 15th. And I feel like, although this song was released on the Simon & Garfunkel album Bookends, I think it's most widely known for being on the soundtrack of The Graduate.
Yep.
And I read a little bit about this. It's interesting. The song wasn't really written purely for the movie The Graduate. They were contracted to do songs for that film because the filmmaker was a fan of Simon & Garfunkel's work. And the songs that they were pitching to him, he didn't really like so much. And they had Mrs. Robinson kind of half written already and kind of pitched it to him as an idea, and he loved it. And so they made it a song for the film.
Yeah.
But it's funny, watching that movie, even though it has the name of one of the major characters in the movie, it doesn't really feel like the movie.
It doesn't.
Which is really funny.
Yeah.
But super iconic, nonetheless, both in the context of the movie and just the song itself.
Yeah.
I think that Paul Simon is just absolutely incredible. Simon & Garfunkel, obviously, you know, you get kind of beautiful harmonies sung between the two of them.
I was going to say, their voices together.
Yeah, their voices together are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But this song just also super musically cool and interesting, and has a very, I guess, immediate impact when you hear the opening riff of this song. You know what you're listening to. So that's definitely one that I like a lot. So that was my number three.
Nice. My number three is Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
So
we can come back to this.
I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
So yeah, Otis Redding. And this is 1968 also, so strong year for music, for sure. This song was number one on the charts for 4 weeks, from March 16th to April 6th.
Mm-hmm. I am a huge Otis Redding fan.
Oh my goodness. He was absolutely incredible.
Incredible. So talented. I read about his process through writing this song.
Yeah.
They basically just mentioned that he put a lot of thought into any songs that he wrote.
Hmm.
And so this one actually took him quite a bit of time. And he started it when he was temporarily staying on a boathouse, and then finished it on a hotel napkin.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically kind of wrote it in chunks, and it ended up being huge, obviously, hitting number one.
That's cool. I read a little bit about that as well. And yeah, that he started out writing it when he was staying on a houseboat, and then it was co-written, so he also worked with a producer named Steve Cropper on it.
Mm-hmm.
And because Otis Redding, you know, died prematurely in a plane crash, actually right before this was released, so this song actually came out right after he passed away, there were more interviews to discuss it with his co-writer.
Right.
And it was interesting, he kind of said that Otis Redding had formed the idea for the song, he had written out the full first verse and kind of had the basics of the song written out, and then Steve Cropper came in to kind of help him finish the lyrics. And it was funny, he said that Otis Redding never really wrote about himself, but that he worked with him and that he wrote about Otis.
Yeah.
So the lyrics that he added in are basically biographical about Otis Redding, even though those aren't the lyrics that Otis wrote himself, which is kind of a funny thing,
that's
I think.
Cool.
So it's just kind of an interesting detail in the songwriting process. But yeah, also interesting and tragic that, yeah, he died in a plane crash in December of 1967. So this song came out shortly after he passed away.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, shot up to number one. And, you know, kind of a, I don't know if it was a strategic decision. His plane crashed into a lake, and then came out with Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Just kind of an interesting, I guess, turn of events.
Yeah.
But this song is amazing.
It's so good.
His voice is just so soulful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is a great song.
Yes, definitely well-deserved spot.
For sure. So that was your number three?
Yep.
My number two is My Girl.
This is on my list.
Okay. We'll come back to it then.
My number two is I Wanna Hold Your Hand.
Oh yeah, tell you something. I think you'll understand when I say that something. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
Not
on
my list.
Your list?
Nope,
oh, okay.
It's not. But absolutely well deserved.
Oh, yeah.
This was my number six.
I. easily could have done a top five of only Beatles songs.
Yeah, we should clarify, we agreed ahead of time to not do more than one song by any artist.
Yes.
Which was an obvious rule for the Beatles, because,
because they ruled the 60s.
They absolutely did. In a 1960s list, even just a list of number one songs, that could have been all Beatles songs.
Yeah.
So, great choice, though. I love this one.
Yeah, so I Want to Hold Your Hand hit number one in 1964, and this one is the longest run on my list, so it stayed at number one for 7 weeks. And it was written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and I was kind of reading about their co-writing on this song, and they basically just went back and forth, refusing to give credit to one or the other, saying that it was truly, truly co-written, and them just kind of playing instruments and singing at each other different different lines and stuff, and it all kind of coming together, which is cool.
Yeah, and this is their first number one song.
Yeah.
So this is early Beatles, probably a little more collaborative, cooperative environment.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, from that little article I was reading, it sounded like they had a lot of fun writing it. And
this is a great song, for sure. The interesting thing with this one, too, is you said 7 weeks, but then they were replaced at number one by another one of their own songs. And then, again after that...
They were competing with themselves.
Oh, yeah, just outdoing themselves.
Yeah.
So I think it's I Want to Hold Your Hand, and then She Loves You, and then Can't Buy Me Love. So
one right after the other.
One right after the other. So they end up holding the number one spot for 14 weeks. Three separate songs, but still, 14 weeks at number one.
I wonder if other bands in the 60s were just, like, fed up getting beat out by the Beatles.
You know, that's an interesting thought. And I wonder if the people who were maybe feeling that way were artists that were more well-established artists.
Yeah.
You know, from the early 60s, or artists even that had been around since the 50s. Those artists were probably feeling like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah, pretty much.
And I guess that's why they called it the British Invasion.
Yeah.
Because they invaded.
Yeah, seriously. And just took over.
Yeah, for sure. But I Want to Hold Your Hand. Great song.
Yes, that was the one I had to choose for the Beatles. I just love that song so much. So
I like that choice, definitely. My number one?
Yes.
My number one is Hey Jude.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start.
So, coming back to the Beatles, now kind of on the other end of the spectrum,
This
is 1968. This is the Beatles' longest-running number one song, so 9 weeks at number one, the week of September 28th through the week of November 23rd, 1968.
If we hadn't made the rule to not have multiple Beatles songs on our lists, this was my number six. I really narrowed it
Yeah.
off.
Yeah, so. Well, and I Want to Hold Your Hand was my number six.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I think they are such different examples of the Beatles.
Yeah, for sure.
And both brilliant, but very different.
Very different. Mm-hmm.
And Hey Jude, written by Paul McCartney. I read some backstory on the writing of this song, which I never knew, actually. But so this song was actually written as a song to kind of console Julian Lennon, John Lennon's son, when John Lennon and Cynthia Lennon, his first wife, were getting divorced.
That's interesting.
It's really interesting. And apparently Paul McCartney was just invested enough in their lives, and Cynthia Lennon was a part of their friend group for a long time before, so he was just kind of invested in them and checking in on them after the separation. Of course, John Lennon famously went on to be with Yoko Ono. But yeah, so initially the lyrics were, "Hey, Jules."
Huh.
As, like, short for
that's
Julian.
That's really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I thought so, too. And that's something I had never really looked into or never heard before. But
I wonder if he had any idea that kind of a personal song to someone he knows would end up being that huge.
Yeah, I can't imagine. As big as they were, that song was still just massive.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I think is really interesting about Hey Jude is this is a song that is over 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
That is very unusual for a radio hit pop single.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the very long refrain at the end of the na-nas, Hey Jude, that part, and you have Paul McCartney kind of letting his voice go and wailing and improvising and stuff. Oh, it's amazing. It's just a brilliant song.
Yeah.
That refrain, I think, is just so good. And that's one that people can join in on so wholeheartedly. You know, we did our list about the Super Bowl performances, and one of the Super Bowl performances that I watched was Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And he does Hey Jude at the Super Bowl. The whole crowd singing.
Joins in, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's just like, you realize how important and impactful that song is throughout the decades. I mean, that song still holds a lot of importance for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a song that you hear that come on, anybody can join in with that so easily.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It's just a beautiful, amazing song. Anyway, that was my number one. Hey,
nice.
Jude.
I love it. My number one is My Girl. Okay. So we can come back to that. Number one in 1965, and it's by The Temptations. It was at number one for just 1 week, but The Temptations, I mean, I have to set the Beatles aside here in what I'm about to say, but The Temptations are my favorite band from the 60s. They feel so classic 60s to me, and I love all of their music, but My Girl was obviously a huge one for them. It had to land number one on my list because this was the song that my dad and I danced to at my wedding. So, kind of holds a special place in my heart.
Sure.
But it's also just a great song. Do you have anything to say about it from it being on your list?
Well, I think this one was knocked off of the number one position by the Beatles again. 8 Days a Week came out right after this, so only 1 week at number one for My Girl, which is, I guess, just showing you again how dominant the Beatles were, because My Girl is an amazing song.
So good. It's a little unfortunate they got knocked off so early, because it deserved longer.
Oh, it's a beautiful song, and that bass part that brings it in and kind of runs throughout the song, yes, that is so iconic.
Oh, yeah, you hear it and instantly
it's amazing. That's going to be like one of the most iconic riffs of all time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's just an awesome song. This song was actually written by Smokey Robinson and Ronald White from The Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And then this album came out on a song called The Temptations Sing Smokey. Huh. So it was all Smokey Robinson songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, just interesting. And I think doing cover songs for big artists was so much more commonplace than it is now.
For sure.
You know, you have tons of songs now that are on the pop charts that they're not necessarily written by the artist performing them, but they're known for being by them. But back then, a song would come out by one artist, another artist would cover it, and sometimes the cover version would become bigger than the original.
Yeah, it's crazy that cover versions hit number one when the original didn't.
All the time.
Yeah,
it was so common back then. Maybe a little different way the music business worked back then than how it does now. But yeah, this is a great song.
Yeah, I love it.
I love this inclusion. So that was our first in our series of Billboard number one songs. So that was our number ones from the 1960s. I hope you guys enjoy this idea, and definitely let us know as we go on from week to week what some of your favorites are from each decade. It'll be really fun to kind of follow along with you guys. And of course, as usual, check out the show notes. You can always find links to the different songs that we talk about on the lists, links to find and buy some of the albums from our favorite songs. You can find those show notes on Apple Podcasts. Just click right on the icon for this episode and it'll bring up the show notes with all those links. You can also go to brothersisterlister.com where you can find all of those show notes and all of our previous episodes as well. So if you want to listen back through some of the past episodes that you missed, they're always right there on brothersisterlister.com.
Yeah, and definitely check us out on Twitter. We're at BSL Podcast. If you want to give us any feedback or notes on what your lists would have been, you can use hashtag Brother Sister Lister. We're also on Instagram at Brother Sister Lister. We'd love to hear from you guys on either of those.
Yeah, and as usual, we're always looking for new ideas. So if you want to give us some ideas for what you think interesting list topics would be, you can let us know on either of those as well.
Yes, we'd really appreciate it. And be sure to listen in next week as well for our top five Billboard number one hits from the 1970s.
And until next week, call your mom.
Tell her you love her.
Bye.
Bye.
Christmas has brown, you've got a lovely daughter.
We don't need to clip in for that one. That's perfect.
Just leave that.